Tattva Darshan, June 2010. Krishnadas has asked a very interesting question, because we often hear in the classes and discussions and readings in ISKCON and in our Bhagavatam classes in Krishna Consciousness, we hear about Varnashram Dharma, the four spiritual orders, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and the four social orders, the Shudras, the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmins, and how they integrate and work together and harmoniously to bring the human society through the four Purusharthas, Chaturpurushartha, Dharmart, Kama, and Moksha, the final aim being, of course, liberation from the samsara, freedom from the cycle of repeated birth and death. This is the goal of Vedic culture, which was organized along the Varnashram Dharma guidelines, which are given by the Lord Himself. And Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita, how the arrangement of society in Varnas is based on different qualities, not birth. Krishna says in 4th chapter, verse 13, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Bibhagashaha Tasya Kartaram Apimam Vidya Kartaram Avyayam. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, O Arjuna, the four divisions of human society were created by me in terms of their respective qualities and characteristic work, guna and karma. Although I am the creator of this system, kartaram mam, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. The Varnashram is sometimes called Daivi Varnashram. By Bhakti Siddhanta, it is meant to bring everyone to the Daivi or spiritual transcendental platform. But what happened? Although we talk about Varnashram Dharma, it became vitiated and ended up with something called the caste system, which people claimed by birth certain rights to control and lord it over other members of society. And the God focus was lost in the culture, society. And pride and exploitation became the mainstay. So people lost any faith in the Varnashram system. And it became known as caste system, which the British found so much fault with while they were ruling India. And eventually the caste system fell apart by various disintegrated. And along with it, the Varnashram Dharma doesn't seem to be too much in existence, at least officially, or in a structured and organized way, although there's always four classes of men and four spiritually inclined people. Well, the question that Krishna is asking is, why did the Varnashram Dharma system, which was ruling this world and guiding humanity throughout Satyuga, Treta-yuga and Dwapara-yuga, why and how did it fall apart? Well, it began with the degradation of the Brahmanas, the Brahmin boy Sringi, Shamika Rishi's son. He was immature and proud and powerful due to his Brahmin tejas. And he cursed Maharaj Parikshit because he thought that Maharaj Parikshit had offended his father. So because of his wrong use of his power, the Brahminical culture began to decline. And of course, in the age of Kali, it's practically hardly existing. The Brahmanas are supposed to be the heads of the social order. And once the head goes haywire or corrupted, then all the other orders of society deteriorate. The Prabhupada explains in the first canto, chapter 18, purport to text 34, this mentality of false prestige, false pride, pride of birth, not having any real guna or karma, not having any real qualities or performing any proper actions. But I want to dress proud. I'm a Thakur. I'm a Kshatriya. I'm a Brahmin. This mentality of false prestige is the cause of the downfall of the Varnashram Dharma system, the perfect social order. And this downfall began with the activities of the inexperienced son of a Brahmin. So the beginning of the misuse of brahminical power began. And gradually, as we see, the Kali Yuga Brahmins have lost all their brahminical power in their culture. So Kali personified first entered into the head of this social system, the Brahmin boy. He conquered him and controlled him and utilized him for his nefarious purposes. And gradually Kali personified entered into all the other classes. And previously there were enlightened kings, Rajarishis, but that was replaced by Shudra government, power to the people, demon crazy democracy. So Prabhupada compares the result, what are the results of this modern democracy, which is very popular around the world. Most countries have some form of so-called democratic government, where the masses of people, they elect their representatives. Power of the people, for the people, by the people. So what are the, Prabhupada compares in one purport, text 43 of chapter 18, how does a modern popular democracy compare with a traditional government run by a monarchy, run by a monarch or a king during the days of kings and Brahmins and Vaishyas and Shudras? An ideal king would be firstly thoroughly trained in culture and bhakti with the martial spirit of protection and nourishing and caring for his praja and his citizens and everyone in his kingdom like his own children. Such a personally run monarchy with a king at the top, an enlightened spiritual king, a Rajarshi, is much better than the modern democracies where there's no training or sense of responsibility. Prabhupada goes on, the thieves and rogues of the modern democracies, they seek election by misrepresentation of votes. And then, when they get elected, they devour the mass of population. One trained king or monarch is far better than hundreds of these useless material rogues posing as leaders and kings. When the monarchical regime of Prikshit was abolished, the mass of people became open to the attacks of Kali. This democracy is not giving anyone happiness. With the downfall of the king-based or monarch-based government, the Democrats, who are usually plunderers of the wealth of the state, gain power. So-called Democrats, Democrats, they capture the administrative machine without assuming responsibility for the prosperity of the citizens. Everyone simply captures a post or a political position so he can enjoy his personal gratification. Now, instead of having one king running a country, there are a number of irresponsible kings taxing all the citizens. When society was organized by qualified Brahmins, it is natural that everyone in society was cooperating. The Brahmanas who are at the top strata of society are supposed to be austere and learned in Shastra, simple-hearted, meek. Then when such leaders are there as Brahmanas, the citizens don't feel threatened. They don't envy the superior position of these simple, pure-hearted Brahmins. They naturally want to offer respect and work cooperatively with their guidance. And additionally, these Brahmanas, they act as teachers, priests, and counselors and doctors, and they offer all these services to the people out of their love and compassion, and they don't ask for any pay. They don't charge for their teachings or their doctor's skills, or they don't charge anything. Because people naturally appreciate these services that they receive from the brahmanas and also the humility and other good qualities, then the masses of people, the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, they naturally respect the brahmanas. When respect is there, the brahmanas can effortlessly direct the society towards self-realization and spiritual understanding. However, Kali's influence is very powerful. The brahmanas became proud, beginning with Sringi. The brahmanas are qualified by their advanced knowledge and learning, but they should also be very humble, which is a byproduct of true wisdom. But if someone is proud, then this is a sign of ignorance. Ignorance of one's relationship with Krishna. This is the basis of false pride. With the progression of Kali Yuga, brahmanas have lost their shastric knowledge, their good exemplary characters, their humility, their simplicity, and spiritual aspirations. And all the brahmanas are doing now is proudly demanding respect simply because they're born in brahminical families. Because brahmanas are so proud and they think themselves superior to any other class, they become greedy and exploitive. So now, then the brahmanas, they attempted to dominate the kshatriyas, although they're naturally obedient and subservient to the learned and humble, are intolerant of pride and condescension. So thus the kshatriyas, they rebelled against the brahmanas and they threw off their control and their guidance and they carried on governing without the brahmins and shastras. Might is right and superior military force is the sole foundation of power. In the absence of spiritual guidance, the kshatriyas have organized society around their own personal values and desires. And then they too have become oppressive, exploitive, and addicted to sense pleasure. Corrupted by power and wealth, absolute power corrupts absolutely. The modern leaders, politicians, politicians and kshatriyas, they're living extreme opulence. And they've engaged in unpopular, expensive, and petty wars financed by high taxes and fought by unqualified warriors. Even just shudras and farmers were fighting in these crusades and wars of the Middle Ages. The hedonistic kshatriyas of the medieval times would exploit the people to the max. As the Brahmins degraded, now the kshatriyas degraded, and they inspired the vaishyas community. As the kshatriyas degraded and became so abominable and selfish, the mercantile, the money makers, the bankers, the industrialists, the vaishyas, they got together to plot the overthrow of the kshatriyas. Why should they pay tax to facilitate a corrupt king's sense pleasure? As the kshatriyas had rebelled against the control of an unqualified, proud class of brahmanas, so in turn, the vaishyas, the mercantile class, the businessmen, the baniyas, they also rebelled against the control of the unqualified, proud and selfish, egoistic kshatriyas. What was born of all this rebellion was capitalism. Became the ruling economic system. The capitalist Vaishya rebellion freed the wealthy class from the Kshatriya's rule by brute force and liberated them, the people, from the strangling taxation of the selfish kings. But now that the Vaishyas were in charge, it subjected the society to the rule by financial manipulation in the form of money, lending, and banking. Now, instead of brahmanas or kshatriyas, kings or saintly people at the top of the social society, everyone became controlled by the businessmen, the financial power of the Vaishyas. Brahmanas became more corrupt, and he lost sight of religious principles. And subservient and controlled by the wealth of the businessmen, the Kshatriyas became even weaker, and the Vaishyas' power went unchecked. During all these various revolutions over the history, the laborers are encouraged to throw off their shackles and work for the collective benefit of their fellow workers. Vedic civilization's destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, where there's no birth, old age, and disease. The Vedas direct everyone not to remain in the darkness of ignorance of the material world, Tamasimam Jyotirgama, but to go to the spiritual sky, far beyond this limited material world. The qualitative caste system and the orders of life, Varnashram Dharma, were scientifically planned by the Lord and executed and explained by the great rishis. This was the perfect way of life. Gives all sorts of instructions in material and spiritual knowledge. In Vedic way of life, everyone becomes happy and peaceful. But thus, in Kali Yuga, true culture became lost with the deluge of materialism, and gross sense pleasure became the goal of life. Now the citizens are no more than dogs and monkeys. To the question of how the whole Varnashram system, the enlightened, God-centered, king-centered, Brahman-centered, social, spiritual system running a very peaceful, happy, prosperous society, how it fell apart was due to the beginning with Sringi misusing brahminical power. So the brahminical community was basically responsible for allowing Kali to enter the world of affairs. Vraha Purana explains how this happened. Those demons who acted inimically toward Lord Krishna, but who were not killed by Lord Krishna, were allowed to take birth in the families of brahmanas to take advantage of the age of Kali. The all-merciful Lord gave these demons who were born in the families of brahmanas and Kali, gave them a chance to have their births in the families of pious brahmanas so they could progress towards salvation. But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity of brahminical birth, misused the brahminical culture due to being proud and puffed up by vanity and becoming brahmanas. Sringi, the son of Shamika Rishi, is a typical example. And all the foolish sons of brahmanas are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi and always be on guard against the demoniac qualities which they had in their previous births. The foolish boy Sringi was of course excused by the Lord, but others will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantages obtained by birth in a Brahmin family.